This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Happy New Year. Time's up. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. The Time's Up movement against sexual assault and harassment is 2 years old today. It started as part of the Me Too campaign in response to sexual assault allegations against Harvey Weinstein. The Hollywood mogul's trial is slated to start next week. In the meantime, the Time's Up movement has been busy. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has more.
Hollywood is changing slowly. Kirsten Schaefer is the executive director of the nonprofit Women in Film.
So the numbers of women directing television shows went up significantly this year. The numbers of women directing the big budget features just went up for the first time.
She says studios have understood that lack of diversity or a sexual harassment scandal is just bad for business. Time's Up's Legal Defense Fund was born out of the criticism that the movement was too Hollywood-centric. It's raised over $24 million to help vulnerable women. About half of that has been set aside for lawsuits, including some against McDonald's. Sharon Tajani is the fund's director.
To have people who are household names say, no, this happened to me too, I think that really changed and made people want to come forward and want to try to help with this issue.
Tajani says there's plenty to celebrate, but there are still thousands more requests for assistance. In Los Angeles, I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Over the last 10 years, early investments in big tech, the Googles, Apples, and Amazons of the world, have shown to be profitable. That's probably an understatement. Over that time, the S&P Technology Index surged 378%, but don't expect the next 10 years to look the same. The BBC's Victoria Craig reports from London.
If big tech was the standout investment trend of the 2010s, in the next decade, it's going to be all about defining what rules it plays by. That's the view from Jeffrey Yu, head of investment at UBS in the UK, who says how companies react to slowing international expansion will be key.
When we say 5G, you know, what are we talking about? Is it a Chinese version of 5G? Is it going to be a European version? Is it going to be a US version? A big part of globalization has been this integration of different technologies through a common platform. If this process is going to unwind, how is that going to look like?
On the global growth front, economist Michael Hughes says stagnating expansion rates could spell trouble for stock and bond markets.
Excess money that's come into the system will go more into the real economy, and there'll be less of it to go into the financial markets.
Therefore, while most asset classes performed better than their 20-year average last year, Mr. Hughes says a repeat performance is unlikely in the year ahead. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
So here is where we do the numbers, but markets are closed on this holiday. What we can tell you is that Wall Street ended 2019 on a very high note. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ had their biggest annual percentage gains since 2013. The S&P benchmark saw an almost 190% gain. The Dow had its biggest year-to-year gain since 2017. Drug makers Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, and Sanofi have confirmed that they will raise the price of a collective 200 medications here in the U.S. Pfizer says at least 50 of its drugs will see a price hike, including Ibranch, which is used in breast cancer treatment. GlaxoSmithKline will raise the price of 30 of its drugs, including respiratory treatments that use their Ellipta inhaler. Sanofi has not yet said which of its products will be impacted, but confirms it will be around 10 of its drugs. The hikes are expected to be less than 10%, with the average rate is expected to be about 5%. President Trump made reining in prescription drug prices a pillar of his 2016 presidential campaign. His administration recently proposed a rule that would allow states to import prescription drugs from Canada.
Hello to 2020 and to all the new marketplace investors who joined us before the end of the decade. Thank you for being part of this community of donors who believe in the importance of trustworthy, independent news and information. It's your ongoing support that keeps us going strong and helps make people smarter everywhere. Thanks again and Happy New Year.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Academics fly a lot to research, to present their work, to go to conferences. But for those who study climate change in particular, this is a problem because flying can be a big contributor to their carbon footprint. Emma Jacobs has more on the conversations about how universities can reduce the amount of time faculty spend in the air.
The last time California climate scientist Peter Kalmus flew on a commercial airliner was in 2012. It was a long flight to meet with research collaborators in Rome.
I'm going to give this like 20-minute update on my work, and it's fun, it's good for my career, but it just felt like I was kind of sort of stealing from my kids.
Kalmus, a researcher at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, founded the initiative No Fly Climate Sci to support other academics trying to reduce their carbon footprint. The International Energy Agency estimates aviation accounted for about 2.5% of global energy-related CO2 emissions in 2018. But flying less isn't always easy, says Seth Wines, a PhD student at the University of British Columbia.
Academics feel a pressure to go to all of these different conferences and so on.
He and colleagues tried to calculate the relationship between air travel and academic productivity using measures like the number of papers published, and he couldn't find one. But reducing flights can still affect an academic's career. For instance, some universities count how many international talks researchers give. Park Wilde is a food economist at Tufts University.
There's lots of ways that universities can change how do they evaluate faculty for promotion and for hiring.
Several dozen universities have bought some carbon offsets for faculty travel. Professor Lee Smithy at Swarthmore College convinced his department, Peace and Conflict Studies, to buy offsets for its travel.
As a small program at the college, we are trying to push the envelope and set some standards.
Smithy says professors can also push academic associations to try things like conferences with regional hubs that avoid making people fly in from all over the world. In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
The Trump administration is expected to announce soon that it will ban mint, fruit, and dessert-flavored e-cigarette cartridges. Analysts say the flavors being banned represent 80% of retail store sales. Menthol will not be limited, which is a compromise. Back in September, the Trump administration said it would do away with all flavors except those formulated to taste like tobacco. But vaping industry groups have successfully argued that it's popular in key battleground states that President Trump needs to secure to win re-election. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.